By then it was slowing, the driver perhaps applying the machine's brake now that it was too late. The side squalled across the hood of the pickup truck, slowing the van further, but it was not done doing damage even so. Before coming to a complete stop, it struck King again, this time as he lay on the ground. Roland heard the snap of a breaking bone. It was followed by the writer's cry of pain. And now Roland knew for sure about the pain in his own hip, didn't he? It had never been dry twist at all. He scrambled to his feet, only peripherally aware that his pain was entirely gone. He looked at Stephen King's unnaturally twisted body beneath the left front wheel of the blue vehicle and thought, good, with unthinking savagery, good. If someone has to die here, let it be you. To hell with Gann's navel. To hell with the stories that come out of it. To hell with the tower. Let it be you, and not my boy. The bumbler raced past Roland to where Jake lay on his back at the rear of the van with blue exhaust blowing into his open eyes. Oi did not hesitate. He seized the Oriza pouch that was still slung over Jake's shoulder and used it to pull the boy away from the van, doing it inch by inch, his short, strong legs digging up puffs of dust. Blood was pouring from Jake's ears and the corners of his mouth. The heels of his shore boots left a double line of tracks in the dirt and crisp brown pine needles. Roland staggered to Jake and fell on his knees beside him. His first thought was that Jake was all right after all. The boy's limbs were straight, thank all the gods, and the mark running across the bridge of his nose and down one beardless cheek was oil-flecked with rust, not blood as Roland had first assumed. There was blood coming out of his ears, yes, and his mouth, too. But the latter stream might only be flowing from a cut in the lining of his cheek, or, "Go and see to the rider," Jake said. His voice was calm, not at all constricted by pain.